Well, thanks ever so much for joining us for this week's TechLaw 10. And it's a royal episode again because the news, I think, on both sides of the Atlantic is about our Prince Harry and what he's got up to in Vegas. Now, Eric, I understand that there is a U.S. saying which says what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas or something like that, but apparently that isn't the case at the moment.
That's true. And this is Eric Sinrod, Jonathan's Dwayne Morris partner in San Francisco. Yeah, maybe the words coming from Harry's mouth should have been, "Dude, where are my clothes?" when he learned that photos of him naked but covering his royal private parts had gone viral worldwide. So how did this happen? Well, apparently his royal nakedness was partying in Las Vegas when someone snapped cell phone pictures of him in the aftermath of a strip billiards game that then ended up on TMZ.com. So much for the supposed code, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But interestingly, Jonathan, the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority reportedly is upset, stating that Las Vegas is all about adult freedom and that people are supposed to follow that code about what activities are private and not to be publicly shared. It'll be interesting to see if and how the photos will affect Prince Harry's reputation. And you can certainly correct me if I'm wrong because, you know, you are British. But I believe he's already regarded as a relatively free royal spirit. So this caper may fit hand in glove with how he's already viewed. And also, some people might like the fact that the royals might not be all that stodgy after all. On the other hand, undoubtedly, some people probably will be upset to see someone in Prince Harry's position engaging in such juvenile activity. So just cast your eyes away. But what are the lessons to be learned from this? First, the world has become a very small fishbowl. Practically anything you do can be photographed and beamed worldwide in an instant. Accordingly, it's important to think carefully about what you do and in the presence of whom. If you cannot completely trust the people around you, you should comport yourself prudently. And I'm not trying to preach here, but you know there is some caution to be accorded. Mm-hmm. Also, this is an interesting thing that I've learned actually from the younger generation. Apparently, there are now cell phone-free parties that are emerging. Namely, people are required to turn over their cell phones when they show up for a party. But of course, that's not completely secure because someone theoretically could turn in one phone but still have another camera-ready phone hidden and available for use. And then, you know, I guess the last point I want to make before I turn it over to you, Jonathan, because I'm sure you'll have much more insightful things to say than this American. As more and more embarrassing material shows up like this Harry Gate debacle, to some extent the shock value goes down. Given how practically all aspects of life are viewable instantaneously on a global basis, we're realizing that people truly are human, and almost everyone at some point engages in behavior that could be deemed somewhat embarrassing. So, you know, we might act so outraged, but in reality, we're seeing it all the time, and we know that people are not perfect. So with that, my friend, tell us what you think from your side of the pond.
Very good thoughts, Eric. And I'm speaking as someone who was the victim of such an exposure just today, in that somebody sent me a picture of me in, I guess, the late 80s, wearing a truly embarrassing shirt. So I empathize with Harry, and I know what he's feeling in some small measure.
Can I ask you a question? You were wearing an embarrassing shirt. Were you wearing pants?
I was indeed, yes. I'll say that for the record.
Okay,
I think this is definitely an issue for individuals and also for corporations. I can remember maybe about 5 or 6 years ago doing a piece of work looking at risk for a major corporation and saying to them, would you allow people into your secure facility with a camera? And they said, of course not. And I said, so would you allow people in with a cell phone, a mobile phone? And they said, well, of course. Yeah, that's the employees. They own that. Why should we take that off them? But not really understanding that the functionality was exactly the same. And that's what we've come to realize over the years. I did another piece of work for another major multinational. And for various perfectly understandable reasons, they bought a former military facility, which they used for some parts of their business. Now, they weren't doing anything underhand, but they had trade secrets in that facility, and there were various reasons as to why it had to stay confidential. But they invited a member of middle management from another location to this facility, and he took a film to show his relatives back home that he'd been entrusted into the Kremlin-like facility of his employer and flown halfway across the world. And how did I find out about this? Well, not through any great Hercule Poirot type investigation, but because the video was on YouTube, because he thought it was easier to upload it to YouTube for all his relatives to see. And I think corporations are finding this more and more, that as we upload more and more content onto the internet, then there are dangers. And of course, the UK data regulator has also looked at the uploading of imageries onto the internet in a case called Internet Eyes. And there are clearly data protection responsibilities as well for employers. So let's say it wasn't Harry going wild in Vegas, but let's say it was a corporate event, then just possibly the employer could be liable for those events that took place at that party and any loss of reputation that occurred. So I think whilst the Harry case is interesting, and I think you're right that the UK press has featured mostly the reaction of the US press and then one of the UK newspapers, which I think disingenuously broke ranks and published the picture, I think more has been on the aftermath rather than any real criticism of a 27-year-old doing presumably what 27-year-olds with money do from time to time. The other interesting aspect of the case there is that it's reported in the UK press that Harry has had a Facebook profile for some time and he's interrelated with his friends there, and the newspaper says that it has worked out the alias he was on Facebook under, and there's apparently a whole host of other conduct relating to other things that may have gone on previous trips. So I think obviously lesson number one is don't do anything naughty. Lesson number two is if you do something naughty, try and make sure that people don't film it and sell the story. And lesson number three is, if you do something naughty and somebody sells the story, don't give them more content for free on Facebook.
Many lessons to be learned.
Indeed, and probably more than we've got time for in 10 minutes. That's so true. Probably at this stage, we should wrap it up. All that we should say, I think, is thanks for listening. We'll be doing another one of these podcasts next week with some excellent topics, actually, that you, the listeners, have suggested for us to discuss in the forthcoming weeks. So keep those suggestions coming. We're going to get around to a few of them in the next month. And I guess all that remains, Eric, is to tell people to be wise. Don't party too hard. And if they do, make sure that the cameras are switched off.
Exactly. So thank you for joining us for this weekly Tech Law 10. I'm Eric Sinrod at Duane Morris in San Francisco. You've also had with you Jonathan Armstrong, my colleague and partner and friend, in the UK. You can find us everywhere. My email address is ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. As I've mentioned, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. You know all of that. And as we say, thank you ever so much. And Jonathan, bring us home.
Yes, thank you. I'm JP Armstrong at DuaneMorris.com. And do tune in next week. Thanks for listening. Bye now.
Cheers. Bye-bye.